Our song leader, great job. Our scripture reading, just perfect. We want to focus our attention just for a few moments on that verse that was read to you in the just a moment ago. I'm told that in the John Hopkins Hospital, in the foyer, there's a statue of Jesus the Lord. And it's said that he's leaning forward with his arms outstretched, as if he was saying to each one of us, come unto me, all you that are wounded and broken in spirit, those you are heartbroken, come unto me and I will give you rest. That yoke I place upon you, he is simply saying, it's not hard, it's easy. And you will find rest for your souls. I know that this has been the text of many sermons. I know that I've sat in pulpits and heard preachers and Bible school teachers talk about this particular text. At some point in all of our lives, we have come to that particular place where we need to look up and not down. We need to look up at the Lord Jesus Christ and hear what he's saying to each one of us. Come unto me. We've been a part of that crowd that was heavy laden. And the burden was so great upon us, we didn't know whether or not we could stand. But those who had faith in Jesus Christ and the God of heaven, I was always to look up and find the light at the end of the tunnel. I know that I did. And I know that many of you in this audience have done that very thing. Maybe this is the most appealing invitation our Lord has ever gave. Come unto me. In all the teachings that you find, this is probably one that appeals to me the most. That he says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. The last clause is one of the biggest messages of Christianity. And that is, my yoke is easy. You know, I was talking to Rick just the other day, and by the way, he's preaching in Tennessee this morning where Danny preached for quite a while, filling in for David, dinner on the ground or whatever it is. But in our Thursday night Bible class, I ran some of these thoughts before my people who attend there every week. And he said in one of his conversations with one of the young men up at the jail, in the jail ministry, that he said he didn't think he could live the Christian life because it's too hard. That it's too many rules and too many regulations. But you know, I have found out this one thing. That in all the scriptures that talks about this subject, the only time a hard way is discussed when Solomon said in Proverbs 13 and verse 15, the King James Version, the way of the sinner is hard. He didn't say the way of the Christian, it says the way of the sinner. We know that the Christian life is an artist's life. We know that it demands discipline on our part. We know that many times our wants and our desires and our wishes will not be granted because it's not in accordance with what the Bible teaches us, our rule book. So we know about this. Those of us who have been Christians all of our lives. Sometimes though we find ourselves even in the words that Cain spoke back in Genesis, my burden is heavier than I can bear. Hospital beds have been filled, and I knew a few whose lives have been wrecked because of drug abuse or alcohol abuse. And they've lost families, and they have no way to go, and many of them have stated, I just want to die. I want to get out of this pain. I feel sorry for those guys because there is a place for them. And those, this the saying of Jesus, this is a choice, Satan. But my burden is light. But I want to call your attention this morning to another portion of that narrative. Three words. Jesus says, learn of me. Learn of me. It's almost a plea to me, to you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Learn of me. I want to look at that. I know this, it contains a thought. might not be as attractive as the others, like his yoke is easy and the burden is light. But I want you to know this learn of me is vital to our well-being. Jesus says, learn of me. Jesus is the master professor. His great saying to look, you listen to me. I got the words that you want to hear. I got the words that you can live by. I can have the words that you can live by, die by, and go to heaven after this life is over. This great professor says, learn of me. Me, the Son of God. So we need to enroll in this great world university. And I asked Dan Rich tonight, I didn't go to college. I told some people I had an Auburn degree. But I asked him, I said, then I know you went to college. Is there required courses in college? And he said, yeah. I said, some you can elect, yeah, you know, basketball even or whatever. So I'm going to say in our life, in this great university of life, there are three required courses that we're going to have to take. We ain't getting around it. We're on the face of this earth. We have to do this in this university of life. The first required course in the university of life is life itself. May I ask you a question? Who consulted you about being born? Who asked you the question, do you want to go to this life, into life, live on the face of this earth? Did nobody consult you? Did nobody ask you, do you want to be born? But you're here. You're alive. And live you must. You can't do anything about it. Some say, well, I can take my life. No, you can destroy your body, but you can't take your life. Only God can destroy the body and the life, the soul, and hell, the Bible says, by Jesus. You can live a life here. You may take your life. You may commit suicide. And you may go all the way to all the earth, but you'll go dust to dust, and earth to earth, and ashes to ashes. You'll still be living. Look at your hand. Just look at your hand. Use this hand to be gone. That'd be nothing but dust. But I'll be alive somewhere because I have to live. I have no choice. It's required that I live from all eternity. Live, you must. It's a required course. The second required course is Hebrews 9:27, the first part of that. It's appointed unto man once to die physically. You must pass from this life. You know, as I was growing up as a small boy and into a young man, to a man had a wife and some children, I always thought my mother and my dad would be there. I never once thought about them leaving me here. But I stood by the bedside of my dad and watched him go. By the bedside of my mother and watched them go. My sister, my brothers, they're gone. Because that's a required course of life. You just can't do anything about it. Or you may take care of your body and prolong your days upon the face of the earth. But there is coming a day when you must die in this university of life. You have no choice. It's required. It is appointed unto man once to die. The time is coming when we will go down that long valley of the shadow of death. There was coming time, as the poet said, we must shuffle off this moral core. We must be as Moses, as he addressed the children of Israel when he knew he must die, with admonition to them to follow God, keep his commandments, and he will take care of them. Just as Joshua gathered the children of Israel together, he knew his time was coming. It was very near. He told them to be courageous and fight the good fight. Choose God, he said. For they had to die. As I think about this, I think about my mortal being, that I one day must die. I may as well smile about it as cry, because I can't change it. I can't bypass it, because it is required course in this university of life. God in his wisdom saw that it was not good for man to live on earth always. But you know, death is not the end. Death is just the beginning. The home with God, a home away from God. It's your choice. But Jesus knew that when we contemplate maybe our going from one side of, to the other, you know, he gave us the words found in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And as if I go, I will come again. I'm going to prepare that place, and I'm coming for you. I'm going to take you up there where you'll be with me for always. The Apostle Paul said, as he contemplated his leaving this life, said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8, I have fought the good fight. And I have kept the course. Henceforth, there is a crown of life laying up for me. Paul knew that he must die. And I know that I must die. That's the requirement of life. The third required course is simply this. The latter part of Hebrews 9:27 is appointed unto man, wants to die, and then the judgment. Part of life is the judgment. You may not have to stand before God. Yes, you'll stand before God. It's required. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. We all must appear before the judgment bar of God, Paul says, to give an account of the deeds we've done in the body, were they good or bad. Do good. Give a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, and Jesus said it will not go unnoticed. God knows every good thing you've ever done. But doesn't change the fact. You'll have to stand before the judgment bar of God. I shudder to think of that. And I would shudder indeed and be very afraid, for it was not for the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, as Paul wrote to Philemon, he talked about the runaway slave, and he said, look, if this man owes you anything, put it on my account. And Jesus stands before God today, and he said, if this man, if this Richard Chandler owes you anything, let me dip my finger in my blood, and I write across the pages, forgiven, forgiven, for I must stand before the judgment bar of God. You know, as I was growing up and did some deeds that just wasn't right, I'd have to stand before my mother or my father. And they'd punish me according to the crime that I'd done. And that's the way God is. He's a just God. Steve Basham, whose wife, widow, has been here several times, made a statement in Bible class. He said, whatever condemnation or commendation that he received before the judgment bar of God, he knew that it would be the righteous choice. He said, if I'm lost in hell forever, God is still just. If I have a home with heaven, in heaven with him, God is just. He will make the proper judgment. That gives me hope. It gives me a good feeling to know that he is just and he will keep what I've committed against him to that day. You know, the judgment bar, where all things will be laid open. We may cover up a lot of things here, you know. High crimes, the evil people, the evil deeds, the undercover darkness. All of this, we may escape man's judgment down the very course of our lives. But my friends, the book of life is going to be opened in that day. And if your name is not written there, if it's blotted out, it will be a just judgment of Almighty God. We may hide those things, but remember that God's eyes are open. Psalm 34 and verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, for the eyes are upon the righteous, and his face is against them that do evil. We have to deal with this, the judgment. The searching eyes of God will not miss anything. You know, this should make us very, very still. And oh, be so careful how we live. Amos chapter 9 and verse 8 says, behold, the eyes of God are upon the sinful kingdoms. The eyes of God are watching. in this great university of life. You have to live, you have to die, and you have to stand before judgment. But I want to talk to you about the elective. The elective courses in life. The number one elective course, I would say, is that we can choose our way of life. You know, you can just choose where you want to go. Take the high road or the low road, as the poet said. You know, he said, to every man there opens a highway and a low way, and every man decides the way that he should go. So the decision is before me at this day. Which road do I want to take? You know, Jesus in the latter part of the Sermon on the Mount talked about the high road, the low road, the narrow way, and the straight way, you know, and the broad way. And I know that we often look at that as those who would obey the gospel and those who would disobey the gospel. But you know, in all walks of life, we can choose a road that we want to travel. You know, I've, last 14, 15 years, I worked with Hubbard and Drake in Decatur, Alabama, and the last 10 or 12 years, I've been the official counselor of employees who, you know, were caught or failed drug tests. Or is one had the recent one. He drank some beer on his lunch break, you know. And one of the first questions I've asked is this: did you intend to be a person like you are now? Did you intend to be a person that we couldn't trust to be on a job without, you know, without drinking? No, that's not what I want. One person said, you know, I didn't have much chance in life. My mother and my father were drug addicts, and that's the way I am. I said, did you intend to be like them? They said, no, I didn't intend to be that way. Not everyone that walks down that broad way that leads to destruction intended to walk that path. What they did, they made choices to walk either path, the broad or the narrow. And God, being as he is, in all the power that he has, the God who spoke this earth into existence, will not thrust me into either path. I must choose the path I'm going to walk. That's elective course in this university of life. Choose where you want to walk. I read a story about this family who had bought a nice piece of property, and through it ran a river or a creek or whatever it is. And they went in together, and they saw it. They said, hey, this right here looks like a wonderful place to build my house. And so they began to clear off and begin to lay a foundation, and some of the neighbors come down and said, you don't want to build a house down here close to in the bottom land, close to the river, to the creek. They said, why not? He said, in the springtime, the rains come. Wash it down from the hills. Along with that comes thousands and thousands and thousands of snakes. You have to build above the snake line. So they backed up. My friends, as you look at that road before you, whether it's wide or narrow, you need to build above the snake line. You need to make choices that benefit not only you, but your fellow man, your family. A life that would be this one. That's God's way. God will not force me through either gate. I must choose. Then the second elective is in the words of Pilate of long ago. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him? Oh, you have to make a choice. You have to do something. The Jews upon that day said, you crucify him and turn loose the murderer that you have. We want the murderer. We don't want Christ. We don't want Jesus of Nazareth. We want him hanged on a tree. We want him dead. How terrible. But my friends, may I submit to you, not any more terrible than those of us who live in this century who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Who reject Christ. That's elective in life. You can choose him or not. The choice is yours. But remember, the answer to this question, this elective, will live forever. Forever. Again, God, he's not going to thrust you either door. You can do it or not. Well, this brings down to the last point that I want to make. The third elective is that we can choose our own destination. It's elective. Pepper Martin, those of you who are baseball fans or sports fans, and many of you are, maybe remember the name Pepper Martin. He was a teammate of Dizzy and Daffy and some of those others back in, I think, 1920s and early 30s. But after a World Series where he set the woods on fire, they couldn't get him out. They couldn't keep him off the base pass. He ran them with reckless abandon. And he was sitting in his locker after the World Series was over, and the reporters gathered around him. They said, "What are your thoughts?" And he looked up at them with a very somber look and said, "My thought is simply this. I want to go to heaven when I die." Some of them kind of smirked and some kind of, "Hey, hey, hey." He said, "You know, I don't think that's so funny. You know, I don't think it's so funny." He said, "I want to live my life above reproach. I want to do everything that the God of heaven will want me to do to the very best of my ability and what I'm willing and able to do." What I'm able to do, not willing. But he said, "That's my desire. That's my desire." You see, there is a difference between redemption and salvation. Redemption is what God's Son done for me. There it is. He died over 2,000 years ago. Redemption is here. Here's salvation. My part, his part. I accept him. That's salvation when I accept him. That's the third elective. I can choose my destination. You know what Jesus said? There's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. You know, the story is told about a father who had a son who was kind of rebellious, self-willed, and didn't want to go to college. The father told him, the mother told him over and over, there are great advantages. If you just go to school, you go to college, and you make more money, and you'll just be so much better off if you attend college. Boy was very reluctant. Didn't want to do it. So the man brought his son a Bible. And in this Bible, there was a note that said, $10,000 have been deposited in your bank account, but it only can be made out to the college that you choose. That's what God has done. He said, "I got millions of dollars in your bank account. All you have to do is live for me. And you'll reap eternal blessings as a result of it." So as the master professor, stands before us today, he says, "You got to live, that's required. You got to die, that's required. You got to stand before me on judgment, that's required. You can choose the way you want to live. You can choose Christ. You can choose your destination. But my friend, that's what it is in this university of life." You know, the words of Jesus simply says, you know, just hear what I have to say. You believe it. Read the scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Repent of your sins. Turn back. Confess his name before heaven, if you want, before man, that he might confess us before heaven, in heaven, before God. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. And God will place you in his kingdom. You don't have to be worried about joining any church. The Lord does all the additions. He adds you to his body. If you're here today and you're walking in this university of life, and you are, there's some choices have to be made, if you hadn't already made them. So I trust that you'll make the right choice as we stand and as we sing.